Welcome to our Christian Ministries Church Podcast. We pray today's message will equip you to do the work God has called each of us to do in our area of ministry. I look forward to seeing you here at church soon. Enjoy today's word. I believe that you're not here by accident. It was by divine purpose. You know, Memorial Day has been acknowledged as a national holiday since 1971. An act of Congress established its observance to be on the last Monday in May. And so that's why we celebrate Memorial Day. It seems a little early this year, this weekend, but that's because tomorrow's the last day of May, or the last Monday in May. So in 2000, Congress passed the National Moment of Remembrance Act, asking all Americans to pause at 3 p.m. local time on Memorial Day for a minute of silence in remembrance of all those who have died in military service to America. So tomorrow you might set your alarm clock at 3 o'clock, and let's be mindful that at 3 o'clock tomorrow we need to just say thank you, God, for those that sacrificed and made the ultimate sacrifice so that we could live here in the United States of America. You know, Memorial Day, I remember growing up, and it was always a time we would go to the cemetery and we would decorate the graves of those that had made an impact in our life. And so I think about its reason and what we're doing, and it's primarily given to remember those who have gone on, our loved ones, our friends, those who have died for our country. And so we must never forget the sacrifice that was paid for us to live the life we live today. Thank you. I was waiting for somebody. I've had today's message on my mind for a few weeks. And today is a couple of things. You know, it's Memorial Weekend, I get that. But it's also Pentecost Sunday. Now, that's a big deal for those that understand Pentecost. And so I was thinking about the title of what I wanted to talk about today. And the title of today's message is Uncomfortable. The screaming child couldn't have been more appropriate. Bless that parent's heart. It's uncomfortable when your child does that. I mean, but today's message is uncomfortable. For comfort to arrive, there seems to be a requirement of no comfort. I mean, really, there's just no way we would have today unless someone was willing to be uncomfortable. Whether we're talking about Pentecost or we're talking about Memorial Day. So we thank God for those who have gone on before us that were willing to be uncomfortable. I mean, really. And as you can see on the screen, Jesus faced here on earth a time of being uncomfortable. For us to have eternal life, for us to have the God kind of life. What does that mean? See, I want you to know that as Americans, we work really hard on finding comfort. I mean, we all have what I will call a comfort zone. And I don't know if this is anybody else's, but I wanted to show you mine. This is my comfort zone. It's being in my recliner, my Trump shirt on, and my little dog enjoying a wonderful life. That is my comfort zone. I don't know what yours looks like, but that's mine. And see, everyone has their comfortable place. Everybody has it. I mean, they have their place of comfort. And we got to be careful that we're not always living to get there. Yeah. I mean, really. Thank you. You won't see any more of that. Just keep that. That's what you need to see. But we all do. We're all working to find a place of just, I just want to be comfortable. I just want to not be in any form of pain, any form of uncomfortable. I don't want to be in a situation. I don't want to be here. I just want some comfort. Somebody can agree with that because that's the American dream, finding a place of comfort. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. So I say, walk by the Spirit and you'll not gratify the desires of your comfort, of the flesh. See, for the flesh desires what is contrary to the spirit, and the spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They're in conflict with each other. So that you are not to do whatever you want. I thought, what a great verse for the title of this message today. Our call as God's people is to not do whatever we want. And I'm just telling you that that recliner is great, but I'm really trying to work hard on reserving it for Sunday afternoons. See, there's a time of rest, and I get all of that, but I think that if we're honest with each other, we find comfort a lot of times in flesh things. And you can know when there's comfort in flesh, there is no comfort in the spirit. I mean, that's what the word just said. The flesh desires what's contrary to the spirit. So if you get the desires of the flesh, you can know you're in direct violation of comfort in the spirit. I don't know if any of you remember the day you got saved. I remember it like it was yesterday. It was just, I was young, and I remember going to the revival meeting. Everything was fine. I was comfortable. It was great. And then the pastor got up and started preaching, and I was uncomfortable. In fact, I was holding on to the pew and thinking, he needs to be done. And I was just a young man, but I remember thinking, I'm so uncomfortable. And then after he got done talking, I had walked in comfortable and I walked out uncomfortable. And I was uncomfortable and I went home and I'm very uncomfortable. And we're saying our goodnight prayers. And I said, Mom, I'm so uncomfortable because I'm going to die and go to hell. That's what's going to happen to me. And I don't want that. I'm uncomfortable. And so I remember being led in a prayer that night by my mom. And my mom led me to a relationship with Jesus and I got saved. When that happened, all of a sudden, there was a comfort I didn't know uncomfortableness could produce. I don't know if that's anybody else, but that was me. I just remember that day I got saved and a peace coming over me and a joy and a comfort I'd never experienced before because I hadn't experienced anything in the supernatural that superseded just life in general that I've dealt with every day. Come on, we as Americans are all about comfort. We are all about gratifying the flesh. We really are. I mean, we have comfort food. Anybody testify? Got some food that just brings comfort to my soul. My mind, will, and emotions. I got to tell you, comfort sells. It really does. Just turn on any commercial and they're trying to get you in a place of comfort. If you'll just take this pill, if you'll just do this, you'll be comfortable. If you'll buy these clothes, you'll be comfortable. If you'll just get you some new Skechers. I have Skechers on this morning. And they are so comfortable. You got comfort in the house we live in. If I could just live in this house, and then you get to live there, and oh, the comfort. We work all week long so we can go on vacation and be in comfort. See, we even have a motel line called the Comfort Suites. We're all about it. If our American culture has one fatal flaw, it's our obsession with comfort. In almost every aspect of the so-called American dream, the main goal, the main objective, is achieving a state of comfort. Insulating and protecting ourselves from the difficulties and challenges in the world around us. The default question that the average American asks is, what's the easiest way? What's the easiest way? What's the path of least resistance? The easiest way for me to avoid pain and stay comfortable and secure. Let me read you something that I had read that I just thought was a great illustration of our lives. The average American wakes up in their four-bedroom, climate-controlled McMansion, walks over to the shower, turns on the tap, and out comes a stream of endless hot water cascading all over their bodies, washing away all the dirt they got on themselves while sleeping in their king-size memory foam bed. After stepping out of the shower, they pull a towel off of their heated drying rack because a cold towel would have too shocking an effect at that time of day. To get fired up and ready to go for their day, their coffee machine is set on automatic timer, so they don't even need to remember to put the grounds in and start the machine. They just go out and grab them a cup. Then on our way to work, we stop at Dunkin' Donuts because we didn't quite get enough comfort in our home coffee, and we need a donut. In the winter, when the temperature drops below freezing overnight, as Americans, they use their remote start key fob while opening the door, pushing a button to raise the garage door and fire up their vehicle and get the heat running. They get in the car, they head to work. Once they sit down in their vehicle, the air's all heated up and all the front is very comfortable. But unfortunately, our rear end feels a little uncomfortably cold on the leather seat. So they hit the button for the seat warmer and immediately they bring their back into their front end's temperature. But remember, before the commute to work, they've got to stop and pick up coffee and donuts. So they sit in line at Dunkin' Donuts for 15 minutes with all the other Americans waiting for their coffee. When it'd be way faster to just go inside, but they don't want to leave the comfort of their car. The time comes to order, and we decide that we might as well add 3 donuts, a croissant, and give some energy to ourselves for the day. A quick swipe of the card. I mean, what's another $15, $20 on top of the $6,000 they already owe? And away they go to sit in traffic, driving in their climate-controlled car deep into the city where they can sit in their climate-controlled office all day. I could go on and on. We're all about comfort. And I believe that it's a tool of the enemy that he uses where God could really be doing something spectacular in our life, but we're addicted to comfort. You know, in the natural, we want comfort so bad, we're ruining so many parts of our lives. Let me talk about this. These are some statistics from Pew Research. The average American spends 93% of their lives indoors. You may be young and going, well, I don't. Well, you're not old yet. This is the average American over time. So keep in mind that a lot of our lives are spent inside our own little walls. 56% of Americans can't even cover a $1,000 emergency expense. The average American credit card debt is $5,804. That was low compared to what I thought it would be. The average student loan debt is $54,921. The average car payment a month is $750. Now, I'm just thinking this through. The average American spends time because everybody has 24 hours. And of that time, they watch 5 hours and 4 minutes of television per day. The average American also spends over 5 hours on their smartphone per day. When you add screen time, collectively, they're over 10 hours a day on screen time. Why? Because it's comfortable. It's comfort. It's what we'd rather be in comfort than talk to somebody. I'd rather watch someone else's life than do something with my own. As mentioned today is Pentecost Sunday. Let me tell you, Pentecost means 50th, which is the 50th day after Easter. That's where we get Pentecost Sunday. It was a Jewish celebration 50 days after Passover in the Judaism. And they still celebrate that as a festival. And to the New Testament church today, well, why are we talking about it if it's a Jew thing? Well, we celebrate it also because it's the celebration of the Holy Spirit coming as they were celebrating Passover 50 days after Jesus had come out of the grave. It's a big deal. So we got to know that the book of Acts was written so that we could find how we operate. Here's what happened in Acts chapter 2, verse 1. On the day of Pentecost, all the believers were meeting together in one place. Suddenly, there was a sound from heaven like the roaring of a mighty windstorm, and it filled the house where they were sitting. Then, What looked like flames or tongues of fire appeared and settled on each of them. And everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other languages as the Holy Spirit gave them this ability. Let me just say, if that happened today, it'd freak a lot of people out. And I don't know, because I don't read accounts of them being freaked out, but I've got to tell you that there probably was a few there that was a little, whoa, and probably a little uncomfortable. I mean, there may have been a point where, And let me just tell you, in church today, I know that there are a lot of people, not just here, but in churches all across this country, that are sitting there and they're uncomfortable. Because something is happening, something's getting ready to happen, there's a sound, there's an excitement in some spirit-filled, born-again, sold-out Christian, and they're going, "You're making me a little uncomfortable." Pastor starts raising his voice, and I'm a little uncomfortable. Let me just tell you, that we just read about was not just for that time, it's for today. John 16, verse 1. Jesus said, "I've told you these things so that you won't abandon your faith. For you will be expelled from the synagogues. The time is coming when those who kill you will think they're doing a holy service for God. This is because they have never known the Father or me. Yes, I'm telling you these things now so that when they happen, you'll remember my warning. I didn't tell you earlier because I was going to be with you for a while longer. But now I'm going away to the one who sent me, and not one of you is asking where I'm going. Instead, you're just grieving because of what I've told you. But in fact," here's what Jesus said, "it's best for you that I go away. Because if I don't, the advocate, the Holy Spirit, won't come. If I do go away, then I'll send him to you." Let me just tell you, Jesus went away and sent the Holy Spirit. And as uncomfortable as that might be for some of you to hear, I'm telling you, it provided more comfort than anything else this world will provide. The disciples have been with Jesus. If you could just imagine, they didn't really have any fear. In fact, walking around with Jesus was kind of amazing. People following him, he's healing people, things were going on, and they're like, "This is cool." And there was a comfort just standing there with Jesus, and then Jesus is talking about going away. Obviously, they're like, "Oh, this is not good." And they're grieving him leaving, and he's saying, "Wait, none of you are even asking where I'm going. What I'm telling you is I'm going to send something that's going to benefit your life and empower you to do what you've been watching me do." It was an exciting time, but they didn't get it because they were just thinking how uncomfortable they were going to be. The Spirit of truth has come, and here's what I'm telling you. The only way we're going to see what they saw in Acts is for some of us to get out of our comfort zone and start preparing spiritually and looking for and expecting the supernatural to do something that overrides the comfortable life that we're trying so hard to achieve. He's here. He, not it. He is here. He, the Holy Spirit, because Jesus did go and he left us with power. The Spirit of truth has come, verse 13. When the Spirit of truth comes, he'll guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own, but will tell you what he has heard. He'll tell you about the future. He'll bring me glory by telling you whatever he receives from me. Jesus said, "All that belongs to the Father is mine." That's why I said, the Spirit will tell you whatever he receives from me. And we're so about being in comfort that we're not willing to get uncomfortable so we can experience a supernatural comfort. We just gratifying the desires of the flesh. Let me share a little from Nehemiah. I think Nehemiah If anybody in Scripture that we can look at and see some areas of being uncomfortable, I think this will bring this whole message and this whole point of leaving a place of being comfortable in the flesh to getting to a place of comfort in the spirit. They do not go hand in hand. If you're comfortable in the flesh, come on, did you get it out of Galatians? If you're comfortable in the flesh, then you're probably uncomfortable with the things of the Spirit of God. And you have to see this because it's so important for the life that God wants for his people. Nehemiah, before he started rebuilding the wall, he was building life. And he was doing it from a state of being uncomfortable. But what was happening in the spirit realm was so awesome. See, Nehemiah, he is a great example, and this year as we're talking about building life, we've got to see that that's what he did. Now, he was doing something in the natural, obviously, but it was still uncomfortable. I mean, the whole time he's building the wall, he's getting fired on. There's a lot going on. I ain't talking about building the wall. I'm talking about before that even started. And Nehemiah was uncomfortable, and we're uncomfortable at times, and I understand that. And we're trying to work to get to a place of being comfortable, and if you don't understand the spiritual ramifications of what comfort is, then we're missing everything. See, to get involved in what God is wanting for your life and will benefit you way past this life, we have to see some things that happened with Nehemiah. In Scripture, we read in the book of Ezra and Nehemiah, which were one book, if you will, at the time, we read about Cyrus, the king of Persia. He made a proclamation. Let me give you some background. He made a proclamation throughout the kingdom that the Jews needed to return to Jerusalem. Now, this was a big deal because they had been gone a while. In fact, they'd been raising their kids there, and they had been involved with life in Babylon. See, and the Jews get this proclamation, and a few of them, and then more of them, and then more of them start coming back. But see, generations of living in Babylon, they built homes and lives around where they were at. Their kids were involved with life in Babylon. They had grandkids, they had married some from Babylon, and it wasn't just let's pack up and move mentality. You talk about uncomfortable. We got to move to Jerusalem? We've lived our whole life here. And King Cyrus says, hey, y'all go, you need to go home to Jerusalem. The Jews knew that that was their home. But many weren't going anywhere. I mean, their kids were captain of the ball team. Life was established. They were playing club volleyball, and that was too far away because they didn't have any vehicles. So fast forward a few years. Many Jews had went through this state of being uncomfortable, and they'd went back to Jerusalem. New king, Artaxerxes, trying to live a new life, and they're attacked, and they have no defense. We moved back here, and now we're attacked. This doesn't make any sense. So Nehemiah had a job. He was the cupbearer for the king. That sounds like a pretty prestigious job. Let me just tell you, it's probably one of the most uncomfortable jobs you could ever have. And here's why. Because he had to take a sip of everything before the king drank it to make sure it wouldn't kill you. That's what the cupbearer was. So he had a risky job, and if he died, then the king wouldn't drink from that cup. Here, let me try it first. No thanks. Uncomfortable. But he was obviously through that very close to the king's life. He was in a position of high honor, and he was living a life of luxury, except for the cupbearer part. And then he gets this call to go and rebuild a wall. Man, he's a motivational character in the Bible. It's an amazing story. He lives in luxury, and then he wants to go out and do what God has called to be done. And it speaks to me because everybody's saying, this can't happen. This can't happen. You can't do that. I don't know if you in the Christian life have ever made a move towards the things of God and you had people in your own life very close to you say, that can't happen. You can't do that. You can't say that. You can't do that. I'm just telling you, you get a vision, you start living by God, you'll have people say, you can't do that. Nehemiah had that. Nehemiah faced the same thing. And on the wall, he worked while everybody was not just telling him he couldn't, but they were trying to fire arrows at him, knock him down. Now, I want to give you some of his story today to make your story. Nehemiah was very uncomfortable in the flesh. Even though living a life of luxury, his job in and of itself had to be pretty tough. He cared, get this, and this is what I want you to see. If you're writing one thing down as a point today, he cared more for what God wanted than he did for his comfort. He cared more for what God wanted than he did for his comfort. Let me just tell you, many of us are in a season of life where things are uncomfortable. Maybe it's at a job. Maybe it's with friendships. Maybe it's a position in your family that you don't want to be in. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's with your kids. Maybe it's with your parents. And things are uncomfortable. Quit trying to find comfort in your flesh in those situations. Uncomfortable life in the flesh can produce a supernatural comfort in the spirit. I want to show you this today because today's Pentecost Sunday and we're remembering what some people in their uncomfortable state produced supernaturally. That doesn't make any sense if we're just going to leave everything in the natural. So let's look at what happened to Nehemiah. Nehemiah chapter 1, verse 1. These are the memories, the memoirs of Nehemiah, son of Hakaliah. In late autumn, in the month of Kislev, in the 20th year of King Artaxerxes' reign, I was at the fortress of Susa. Hanani, one of my brothers, he came to visit with me. Nehemiah writes and he brought some other men who had just arrived from Judah. And I asked them about the Jews who had returned there from captivity, about how things were going in Jerusalem. Okay, you've got the background. They said to me, things are not going well for those who return to the province of Judah. They're in great trouble and disgrace. The wall of Jerusalem has been torn down and the gates have been destroyed by fire. Nehemiah wrote in verse 4, read this with me. When I heard this, I sat down and wept. In fact, for days I mourned, fasted, and prayed for the God of heaven. You're looking at that with me today and you're going, okay, what in the world? What you have to see is God had a call on Nehemiah's life. And you and I are no different. He has a call on your life. We have to get to a place that we care more for the call that God has on our life than the comfort that we're trying to get to. When you care more for what God wants, then you'll figure out how to get out of your comfort zone. You will. Nehemiah, he asked a question. He said, hey, how are things going for God's people? So the first thing I want you to hear today, if you're going to live outside of the comfort zone, you got to learn how to ask the right question. A people. He didn't ask God. He asked people, hey, what's the state of what's going on? Here's the second thing he did. He wept. He poured himself into their situation. He had a heart for them. You see this when it says he wept. And the third thing he did was he mourned. He wept because he was mourning. And because of those things, the third thing is he fasted and prayed. In his weeping and mourning, he started okay, let's get out of this uncomfortable situation and let's bring this to a different place. I'm going to start fasting and praying. Because things are uncomfortable, I need the touch of God on this. And then the last thing he did, the fourth thing, and we'll read it, he just went back to work. This was all before the wall. Church, are you so busy in your life that you don't even ask how anybody else is doing? When's the last time you inquired about someone else's life? Hey, tell me what's going on. Tell me what's going on. Because the truth may be, if you don't ask, then you don't know. And if you don't know, then you have no responsibility to do anything about it. Come on, we don't ask about what's going on with God's people. Then you won't feel obligated to help. Well, I wish they hadn't have said anything about the camp. That makes me feel uncomfortable. They're just wanting my money. Here's the thing. You don't want to hear something that you could do because you're comfortable. And that just pushed me into an uncomfortable place. No, that pushed you into a place where God could do something and bring some comfort that that place will never bring. It's just a way of thinking that we don't think. And we don't ask and we don't want to hear. Nehemiah had worked himself into a place of high honor, yet still he cared enough to ask. His attitude's amazing. It wasn't Nehemiah's fault that his ancestors had sinned against the Lord and brought judgment on Jerusalem. He could have been like, they got what they deserve. They should have been doing what God told them to. Why am I here in the palace concerned about what my ancestors did? I've got some real comfort where I'm at. See, you can see Nehemiah's attitude. But he cared more for what God wants than his comfort. Should we be caring for the needs of others? You bet. When's the last time you ask what's going on in someone else's life? You ask, someone says, it's not good. Things are difficult right now. There should never be ever in God's house a place where we have to ask people to serve. People should be asking, where can I serve? You see, if we would find the need of God's people above our comfort, well, I just can't be here enough, so I probably can't serve. And we don't want to be uncomfortable. Did you get the title of today's message? Verse 4, when I heard this, I thought, well, this is Nehemiah. When I heard about this, I thought they just received what was coming, served them right. That's not what he said. He wept. That's what Nehemiah did. He wept. I want you to know, church, today, I used to think this wrong. Weeping is not a sign of weakness. I used to think that. Acts 20:19, Paul served the Lord with tears. Luke 19:41, Jesus wept over the city. Jeremiah 9:1, Jeremiah's eyes were a fountain of tears. Psalms, David weeps over his own sin. Weeping is not a sign of weakness, it's a sign of caring. Nehemiah didn't have any reason to care, yet he cared. See, that's what God does. He cared enough to ask, and he cared enough to weep, and he cared enough to pray. I mourned, I fasted, and prayed. We read many prayers in Scripture that are recorded. And in this book, Nehemiah, living life and doing the great things he did, it was bathed every step of the way in prayer. He starts praying the way Jesus taught him to pray. How did Jesus do it? Jesus hadn't even said all of this. But what I'm talking about is the Lord's Prayer was what Nehemiah was praying. How cool is that? I mean, it was a Sermon on the Mount that Jesus started talking about. Wait, how did this all happen? I don't understand all of this. Nehemiah 1, verse 5. Then I said, O Lord God of heaven, the great and awesome God who keeps his covenant, unfailing love with those who love him and obey his commands. Boy, did he not say, our Father which art in heaven. Yeah. Listen to my prayer. Look down and see me praying night and day for your people, Israel. I confess that we've sinned against you. Yes, even my own family and I have sinned. We've sinned terribly by not obeying the commands, the decrees, and the regulations that you gave us through your servant Moses. Please, God, remember what you told your servant Moses. If you're unfaithful to me, I'll scatter you among the nations. But if you return to me and obey my commands and live by them, then even if you are exiled to the ends of the earth, I'll bring you back to the place I have chosen for my name to be honored. The people you rescued by your great power and strong hand are servants. Oh, Lord, please hear my prayer. Listen to the prayers of those of us who delight in honoring you. Please grant me success today by making the king favorable to me. Put it into his heart to be kind to me. Well, that'd be a good prayer when you got somebody mad at you. Verse 5, the God who keeps his word. Nehemiah, we don't read about him sinning, but he confesses sin. That's where he starts. Do you open your prayers knowing that you've messed up? Because the Bible says none are righteous, not one. We've all dropped the ball here. We think we asked forgiveness the day we got saved. But do you know there is sin in the camp even after salvation? And we need to daily confess that. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you that you're faithful and just to forgive all unrighteousness. Thank you, God. And Father, I'm sorry. See, God, I'm sorry. I confess my sins. I want to get my heart right with you. That's what Nehemiah was doing. That's what we've got to do. Otherwise, we'll just stay in comfort. But when we start praying, it brings us out of that place. So many place blame for their mess on your circumstances of life, your mom, how you grew up, your dad, situations at work. I just can't believe what I'm dealing with. I didn't want this for my life. I didn't mean to be here. Quit blaming everybody else and say, God, forgive me where I've sinned you, against you. Not my will be done, but yours, God. See, we just haven't obeyed. Verse 8 and 9, remember what you told your servant Moses. Hey, it's Memorial Day. Hey, remember. God, I remember all your promises. God, I remember what you told Moses. If we're not obeying your laws and your decrees and doing what you've asked us to do, there's a scattering that takes place. Right. See, I know what you told Moses, and now I've seen this in my own life. And so I ask that you remember, but God, I know that if we'll follow your laws and we'll follow your decrees and we'll follow your commandments, I know what your promises are. There's comfort in you. Now, following all that can be uncomfortable at times because of what you're dealing with. I get it. So today I ask, do you care enough for what God wants to pray, to ask questions, to mourn over sin and the things that weren't done according to God's will, maybe to mourn over your comfortable life that you're looking for. When all you need to do is go get a job and you may need two or three of them. Well, I don't know how I'm going to make my ends meet. Get out of your comfort. Well, I just can't find a job. I'm telling you, everywhere I go, there's a job. Well, I'm not going to work for that amount. You better go to work. Because the Bible says when you don't work, you don't eat. You talk about finding comfort real quick, you're going to be hungry, and that's not comfortable. But maybe we need to get uncomfortable so that we'll find comfort in a different place. Nehemiah was confident, and he was not concerned about his own comfort. God is looking for a people who cares.
I hope this message encouraged you, strengthened you, and hopefully even challenged you a little bit. And if it did, I want to encourage you to like it, share it, or even send it to somebody who you know needs to hear it. Help us get the message of Jesus out to as many people as possible. And to our Christian Ministries family, we're so thankful that you're with us today. Thank you for all you do here to advance His kingdom. And if you're not a part of Christian Ministries, but you want to know more about what God is doing here, you can go to our website, cmchurch.net. Or you can message us on social media and we'll get back to you as soon as we can. Once again, thanks for joining us today and may the Lord bless you.